It's Jen Richler with a special summer episode of Can We Talk? I am joined by my two lovely co-producers, Nahani Rouse and Judith Rosenbaum. Hello, Nahani and Judith.
Hi, Jen.
Happy almost end of July. And where have I found you both today on this, what is a sweltering hot day in Bloomington, Indiana, where I am? How about the two of you? Nahani, where are you?
Well, I'm in the Catskills, actually.
That sounds much nicer.
Yeah. Well, it's actually kind of hot here, too. But I'm sure a little bit less hot. And I'm in a house that has been in my family since 1947. And I'll just say one kind of interesting thing about this house, which I've always found fascinating. I don't know too much more about it, but my grandmother and her sister bought this house together. And even though none of the three of them had jobs or income, their names are the ones that are on the deed. And that's a project for another time to research exactly why they decided to do it that way.
I see a future episode.
Yeah, possibly.
This is like very on brand of you. Okay, Judith, where are you?
I am at home in Newton, Massachusetts, where it is also quite hot and even a little bit hot here in my home office, which is in the attic. Though I do have very glad to have air conditioning. The air conditioning is working hard to keep it not super cool up here right now.
Okay. So like I said, this is a special summer episode. Why is it special? Because first of all, we don't normally release episodes in the summer because we're busy preparing for our fall season. But we thought we would pop on today for reasons I will explain in a minute. It's partly special because of the format. We're doing something a bit different from what we usually do. We're releasing this episode in video form. In addition to putting the audio on our website and in your podcast feed, like we usually do. So if you've ever wondered about the faces behind the voices on Can We Talk, you can head over to our YouTube channel, or if you're already watching us on YouTube, hello. So another thing that's different today is that instead of bringing you a story or a conversation, a story about or a conversation with Jewish women, today we are the ones talking. I'm calling this our hot summer picks episode. It goes with the weather. And I think you could tell what was on my mind as I was putting this together. So each of us is going to talk about something we've read or listened to or watched this summer that we think our listeners will love. And we're going to start with you, Judith. So what is your hot summer pick?
I am very excited to share mine, which is a TV show called Reformed. It's on HBO Max. It is in French. And I have to say, please make sure you watch it in French, not the dubbed version, which is truly awful. In French, it's called Le Sens des Choses, which is basically means the meaning of things, which I think is a much better name than Reformed. But this is a really interesting show. It is loosely based on an essay collection by Rabbi Delphine Horvilleur, who is one of the few women rabbis in France. And it is, in fact, about a woman rabbi named Léa Schmoll, who returns home to Strasbourg to take her first rabbinical job. And she's just a kind of delightful character. She's a bit uncertain, sort of tentative, but also very thoughtful and sweet and real. And it's about both her kind of professional challenges, taking on the role of being a rabbi, and also her family relationships and how she wants to just be in the world and dating and other kinds of things. And the show is really both quite funny and also very moving. And also it really gets the Jewish stuff right. I'm always very sensitive to that in TV shows. And there's just like real, they don't shy away from having real Jewish content. Like, I don't think I've ever on TV seen anyone say Mode Ani, the prayer you traditionally say when you first wake up in the morning, or say the prayer for putting on a tallit, the blessing that you say when you put on a tallit, but those are both included. So I highly recommend it. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm about halfway through and I'm really enjoying it. I think it is a great alternative to the other the hot rabbi show of last year. Nobody Wants This, which was on Netflix. And I will say, like, I love Adam Brody and I did watch that show and enjoyed aspects of it. But, Léa Schmoll is a much better rabbi than Noah Rocklove or whatever his name was in that show. So I
Mm.
recommend that. And of course, I always want to send you back to JWA. If you want to learn more about Rabbi Delphine Horvilleur, you can do so at JWA. She's part of our Women Rabbis exhibit, and you can watch clips from an interview with her at JWA.org. So look for her there. Her last name is spelled Horvilleur.
And where is it streaming?
HBO Max.
I think it's just called Max now.
No, I think that it was called Max and they switched it back to HBO
Oh my gosh,
Max.
very confusing.
I know,
Okay.
they're clearly having some branding issues.
Some identity crisis. Okay, excellent. I've heard good things about the show. How about you, Nahani?
Well, I have three books that I'd like to just briefly mention, if that's all right.
You can do three.
Thank you. So the first is The Safe Keep by Yael van der Woerden. It's set in the 1960s in the Netherlands, post-war. It won the Women's Prize for Fiction this year and the National Jewish Book Award for Debut Fiction. It's hard to talk about it without kind of giving away, something really key about it. So I'm not going to say a lot about it. It's sort of part of it is a steamy romance between two women, but it has a twist. One thing that I really like about it is that it's a book where the house becomes one of the main characters. And I always really enjoy a book like that. And this is just a house with a lot of history that that gets revealed through the course of the book. And I'll just leave it at that. And the writing is lovely and the characters are interesting.
The characters are somewhat unpleasant. Like, I found them
They're a
hard
little
to
hard
spend
to
time with.
parse. They're hard to parse, but they're interesting, I
Yeah, they
thought.
definitely are interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so the second one is not a new book. It's a memoir that was published about 20 years ago about a Jewish girl growing up in Iran in the years leading up to and during the Iranian Revolution. It's called Journey from the Land of No by Roya Hakakian. And it is beautifully written. And it's the first time that I've really read an up close and personal account of this time period. And it was particularly interesting to see this history unfolding through the eyes of a Jewish girl. There are some terrifying parts of it, obviously. But I'll just share one scene that was totally wonderful. Roya's Jewish high school gets taken over by an Islamic fundamentalist headmistress, and she tries to get Roya to snitch on her fellow students. And she then gives these very impassioned lectures to this whole school about, their morality lessons. They're about like covering yourself head to toe and covering your hair. And then she tries to take away their Passover vacation. And the students basically stage a walkout and then they trash the school. And it's sort of their claiming of their part in the revolution. They've sort of all been bitten by this revolutionary fervor, and yet as Jews, their part in it is it's very unclear, how they're going to fit in. So can I just read this one little section?
Sure.
It says, so they start throwing chalk and writing slogans on the board and down with this headmaster, and then they start throwing things through the windows. The windows crashed one after another. Never had the sound of shattering glass mended so many broken spirits. Never had mayhem brought more peace, because they've been surrounded by this chaos throughout many of the years of their childhood. And now they're kind of taking it into their own hands. Too much fear had tainted our days. Too many afternoons had passed in silence with us listening to a fanatic's diatribes. We were rebelling because we were not evil. We had not sinned, and we knew nothing of the apocalypse. Together as girls, we found the courage we had been told was not in us. I found it a very, very powerful story. And then toward the end of the book, finally, the family decides they've just really seen the writing on the wall, and they leave and come to America, which is where Roya Hakakian now lives. And the last book that I'll just mention that I just started is I got an advance copy of Sarah Hurwitz's new book as a Jew. Sarah Hurwitz, not Rabbi Sarah Hurwitz, but the other Sarah Hurwitz, who was the Obama's speechwriter. And just to remind people, years ago we had Sarah Hurwitz on to talk about her first book, Here All Along, which is basically, it's kind of an introduction to all of the things that she learned about Judaism when, as an adult, she kind of rediscovered this whole world of Jewish religion and culture that she had grown up not knowing a whole lot about. And she really fell in love and then wrote this book, which is a very nice kind of primer, I think, on for somebody who's just getting to know their roots. And then the second book, in the second book, she asks the question of why didn't she know all these things? Like, why did she grow up with barely any knowledge of her own culture? And so she kind of traces it back to hundreds, if not thousands, of years of anti-Semitism and, what it's like for Jews to grow up in majority Christian cultures. And it's interesting and well written, and I'm enjoying it so far. I've only read a couple chapters.
I also started that recently, and I, in addition to encouraging our listeners, if you haven't heard it, to go back and listen to our interview with her about her first book. I will be interviewing her about this book as part of JWA's book talks, which hopefully some of you attend, on Thursday, November 3rd. Well, I have to check what the date is actually now that I think about it,
Now
but
you gotta
it's, I know
check.
it's our last book talk of this. We're just putting together, we have our thing. It is Thursday, November 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So check jwa.org for registration information about that. It's not up yet, but it'll be up in the fall. And would love to, you can be part of our conversation.
It would be so great if people, before they tune into the book talk, if they listen to the podcast about the first book, because that's a really great
Absolutely.
background.
I loved the first book, even though I wasn't exactly like on the same trajectory as her. I like a lot of what she said resonated with me in that book. I think it even got me to go to services a little bit more. Okay. My turn. So we've now covered book. Now, honey, you're very well read this
I know.
summer.
Oh.
and Judith had a show recommendation. So I'm going to recommend a podcast, specifically a mini series. So very manageable length, 4 episodes long. It's called The Retrievals, and this is actually the second season of The Retrievals. So some people probably listened to the first season. And so both seasons of The Retrievals thus far have been about the broadly about women's pain and what happens when women's pain is trivialized or dismissed or ignored in the medical establishment. The first season was about women at a particular IVF clinic who experienced excruciating pain during their procedure for reasons that are very disturbing and dramatic that I won't explain if you haven't heard it, but definitely recommend the first season. Their concerns, were downplayed and dismissed, but eventually came to light. And that was excellent. The second season, again, is about women's pain in a reproductive health setting, but this time it's during C-sections. And it turns out that pain during C-section is more common than a lot of people realize. I had both of my kids by a C-section, and even though there were some hiccups and things didn't go 100% smoothly, I did not have pain. And I just assumed that you wouldn't have pain during a C-section because you've received anesthetic, you've gotten the epidural, and of course they wouldn't proceed if that hadn't worked. But turns out that's not exactly true, and that something like 8% of women experience pain during C-section, and for some women it is unimaginable pain. The descriptions in this series are really dramatic and sometimes graphic, and so it's quite hard even to listen to, but r felt really important to hear about. And so, like the first season, this season talks about what happens when these women express these concerns and that they're in this agonizing pain but aren't really listened to. So that's sort of the common thread. But what's interesting in this season is it's also stories of the women who are trying to do something about it and who are really leading the way in making systemic changes to how pain during C-section is handled. And so I think it's just a really important story. It's fascinating. Highly recommend it. I really recommend both seasons. But yeah, I thought it was really interesting.
I really loved the first season also. The second season is in my queue, but I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. But I know a little bit about the topic, not thankfully from my own C-section experience, but because I did a book talk earlier this year with Rachel Summerstein, who wrote a book called Invisible Labor, The Untold Story of the Cesarean Section, which is a sort of history of C-section and especially women's pain, and it's based on her own experience of having a basically unanesthetized C-section.
Oh my
And
God.
it's very much about sort of the failures of the medical establishment in dealing with pregnancy and C-section writ large. And I did this book talk with her last January, which you can find and watch at jwa.org in our book club section under book talks. So it was super interesting. And actually, when I saw that that was the topic of this retrieval, I reached out to her to say, oh my goodness, this is something that's been on my mind since I interviewed you, and I'm really glad it's getting this attention.
I will say, I don't know if this is true for the two of you when you listen to podcasts now, but when you make podcasts, you can't help but get, you're on the one hand, you're taking in the story, and I think this story is amazing and well told, but there are certain decisions about how they told this story and the craft of putting this together that I'm not sure how I felt about. I'm sort of on the fence. It was a creative way to tell the story, but it was maybe a bit distracting at times. Like, I don't know if it was 100% effective. So I'm curious to hear other people's takes on that. Actually, if listeners want to share their thoughts, email me at podcasts@jwa.org. I love to talk. Obviously, I'm a podcast nerd. I would love to talk about the craft of podcasting and storytelling. So I'd be interested to hear people's thoughts.
And we'd love to hear your thoughts on any of the things that we've recommended. If you love them, if you hate them, if there's other things you think we should be reading, watching, listening to that are relevant, please let us know.
Yes, podcasts plural at jwa.org. Hopefully our summer picks should help tide you over until our fall season starts in September. Of course, if it's really can we talk specifically that you're pining for, then you can go back and listen to your favorite episodes or to any that you've missed, either at jwa.org/canwetalk on our site or on your favorite podcast app. And that's it. Thank you so much to our viewers slash listeners for joining us, and enjoy the rest of your summer. We will talk to you in the fall.